Our scripture reading continues in the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born the King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Herod then secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star happened. The star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
What would it have been like to be in the palace of Herod at that time when you are the king of the Jews and someone said, "Where is the child who's been born king of the Jews?" You can understand why Herod was frightened. That meant his time was up. He also knew that he didn't have a newborn son. So his son, the child that born king of the Jews, was not his. And then, interesting enough, they have to have the scribes go and search for where the child is to be born. You'd think after waiting for 700 years for him to be born, they would have figured out where it was. But they go back to Micah, and they find that it's in Bethlehem of Judea. I've already talked about the star a couple times, but I want to just reiterate a few things, is that the star would rise in the east and set in the west, and as it would go, it would grow brighter because of a convergence. When Venus and Jupiter and Saturn come together, it would get brighter, brighter, and brighter. And as the three stars would come in alignment, they would seem to stop, because as the front one becomes the one to the right, and the back one becomes the one to the left, it seems to stop and stay where it is. That would be something, wouldn't it? To see something like that cross the sky, and as you're following it, see it seem to stop? You'd start telling people, wouldn't you? It'd be a story to tell. Well, the shepherds told the story. The wise men told the story. Do we have a story to tell? I am one of the biggest baseball fans you will ever see, and I have a almost visceral hatred of the New York Yankees. So it might surprise you to know that one of my favorite players of all time is Yogi Berra, who was a catcher for the Yankees. But the reason I like him had very little to do with how he played, but had to do with the way he saw the world. And one of the things he's famous for is on New York television, he would give movie reviews. And he gave it based on how much popcorn it was worth. But he also did restaurant reviews. And the most famous one is, it's no good. Nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded. Nobody goes there anymore because it's too crowded. It all depends on your perspective, but Yogi always had a story to tell. He always had something to share. He always had a way of saying it that made you stop and go, what did he just say? There are things in your life that cause you to stop for a moment and want to share. One of the things that does it for me are songs. In 1989, I heard a song on the radio. A woman by the name of Kathy Mateus sang a song called Where Have You Been? And it's a wonderful story song about a love story that starts when they're just kids and ends when they're in separate beds on separate floors. And I'd tell everybody about this song. I said, you've got to hear this song and listen to this Kathy Mattea. A couple years later, I heard a song called If You Get There Before I Do, sung by a Christian songwriter, singer named Colin Ray. Came to find out that he did not write the song. A man by the name of Skip Ewing did. And I had to tell everybody about Skip Ewing and Colin Ray. It's continued on to this day. A couple years ago, I heard a song, Breaking More Hearts Than Mine by Ingrid Andress, and Even Though I'm Leaving by Luke Combs, the story of a life lived with his father and finally saying goodbye. Other things that caused me to get excited and want to share our shows and movies that I've seen. I remember I was really tired of network television and a great, great show came on and I had to tell everybody about the USA Network and this guy named Monk. I said, you know that taxi driver from Wings? He's got his own show and you've got to see it. It's great. He is the most hilarious guy I've ever seen. It continues today. My daughter and I watched The Mandalorian, and I won't say too much about it because I understand most of you haven't seen them, and I don't want to be a spoiler, but it is a great, great series, and I'd love to share it with you. But what really changes your life are relationships, are people that you meet. In 1989, I went to a place called Camp Jewel and met a girl from Maumee, Ohio. She was your liturgist today. Changed my life. I talk about her a lot because of everything that she has done for me and in my life. So why is it that our relationship with Jesus, the wonder of Christmas, rates such a low priority when it comes to sharing? I have to admit, in 1989, I talked a lot more about If You Get There Before I Do and Where Have You Been and Juliana Swanson Davis than I did about Jesus. But come 1992, God dragged me kicking and screaming into seminary. And I began to understand the pivotal nature of Jesus. You know, back in those days, I used to love to have esoteric conversations about the philosophy of Christianity and the ideas of predestination versus free will. What is heaven really like? Is there a literal hell? Are there forces of darkness or evil, or is it just the fallenness, the consequence of our mistakes? I have to confess, those are really good mental exercises, but they really don't mean anything. What means something is Jesus. God came to earth. Jesus chose to come and be one of us. That is so mind-boggling, mind-numbing that it's hard for me to put it into words. God was timeless. God was all-powerful. God was with God in the beginning, creating from the beginning, seeing through eternity, unbound by time, unbound by pain, unbound by any of the human stuff. And he emptied himself. He gave up everything to be one of us. I can't think of anything more astounding than that. And he did it voluntarily, and he did it out of love, and he did it for us. Because of that, it should be on the tip of our tongue all the time. It should be something that we're just desperate to talk about. I don't know if you have had hard times in your life that Jesus has saw you through. I don't know if in a world of crazy, last 10 months being a wonderful example, your faith in God has helped see you through and given you an anchor that the rest of the world doesn't have, but somehow got you through. I don't know if your prayers have been answered. But if they have, how can you keep quiet about it? How can you not go tell it on the mountain? Or do you just keep it to yourself? It's almost like Christmas morning. You get your presents, but you don't know what your friends got, and you don't want to brag too much, make them feel bad that they didn't get as good a stuff as what you got. And we're afraid that because other people don't have Jesus, that if we talk about Jesus, they'll feel bad. But the thing is that we don't have to give up what we have for them to get it too. I often wondered in that movie review if Yogi Berra had liked the place and he didn't want people going there. So he told them, nobody goes there, it's too busy, because he wanted to save it for himself. Folks, you can't use up Jesus. Jesus is never too busy for you because he's busy with someone else. The gift that keeps on giving, the gift that never stops giving. Jesus is not only the reason for the season, but the reason for you. The reason that you're here. He not only tells you who you are, but whose you are. So I challenge you. Find a way to share the gift that Jesus has been in your life. It can be quick. It can be simple. When I was in that accident, my anxiety melted away because I knew God was with me. When that happened, I didn't have any hope, but I knew that Jesus was going to be with me on the other side, so I put my trust in Him. You don't have to be preachy. You don't have to be long-winded. You don't have to have all the answers. Just point to the one that has all the answers. But I beg of you, be prepared to share. Because keeping it to yourself is not the answer. Go telling it on the mountain is the response that He asks for us. Let us pray. Lord, on this 12th day of Christmas, as we head toward the Epiphany, please give us the joy that the shepherds had, that the Magi had. Fill our hearts with a joy that wants to make us share, to go tell it on the mountain. Help us to understand that there may be people who don't know that they need Jesus, but they do. Help us to offer. Help us to open that door and allow them to draw close. Use us for Your will, O Lord. And all God's people said,